Blog Talk Radio.
Well, we're moving on.
Piece of the pie, like George and Weezy. Good morning, Robin. Oh, you're there somewhere.
Okay. Good morning.
Oh, okay. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm a little tired today.
I see. Out all night clubbing, probably. I don't know.
Well, you know, I ended up sleeping most of the day yesterday, and I think I'm just a little tired from all the excitement, and so it's been a great, exciting last few weeks. You know, we won the Spreaker Radio Awards, and then we just got some new clients. We started ministerial training last week, so lots going on.
Oh, okay, I see. Well, I understand. Well, today and tomorrow, we're going to talk about how people can move on up financially. Today's program, the tetrahedron of real estate, we're going to lay down about five principles that people should be aware of and put in place as they, because some people want to buy real estate to, you can buy it as a home, or you can buy it as income property. So we're going to talk about how you can start generating income from real estate. So in a tetrahedron is essentially a pyramid, which a pyramid has five sides. It has the the foundation in it, four other sides. So if you build, and you know, the pyramids have lasted thousands of years, so they're still standing. So that's where the tetrahedron of real estate comes in at. So we're going to speak on that today. So when a person does start buying real estate for themselves, they'll get the information or the parts of the tetrahedron that'll allow them and their family to keep it in the family for generations upon generations upon generations to come. So, but like I said, one of the things we're going to focus in on is on the income side of it. So if a person's been looking to earn an additional income, or maybe they're looking for a new career, then we're going to talk about the income side of it today and tomorrow. So the matter of fact, now, do you have any interest, Robin, in real estate? Well, Robin's not there again. Okay.
Do I have any
interest in real estate? And if so, what?
I actually do, and we're attempting to buy a home and property a couple of years ago, but that fell through. But yes, mm-hmm. And I did. We were going to do a lease-to-own option, but we decided not to pick that up. And then we ended up getting approved to buy a home and land, but we didn't do that either.
Okay.
So, yeah, I do have an interest, yeah, and a personal need.
All right. But now, when you say personal need, is that roof over the head, income, what, or both?
Maybe I didn't phrase that right, but I would like property. I bought a roof over my head, but I'd like to have a roof over my head that I own. And then I would also like to have property for income, income bearing. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Sister Bray, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Now, I believe you're a homeowner. Are you are you a landlord as well? Meaning
no.
Income property. Okay.
Right. No, my only interest right now is to master and maintain my present property without issues. And I guess once I do that, then I may would have some interest in other properties. But as of right now, until I can do that, that's my top focus.
Right. Well, good, good. Well, the tetrahedron we'll be talking about today and part of tomorrow, it focuses in on how to keep it, because like you say, there's various aspects to this. So we'll talk about that. Matter of fact, let me get my notes for this program. All right. Now, I had to get my own visual here on my computer. Okay. So, a tetrahedron is made up of five sides like a pyramid. So those five sides are financial literacy, I'll say homeowner law literacy, and I'm writing as a literacy because law is matter of fact, homeowner / landlord law literacy, because just saying law literacy is pretty broad, so we're narrowing it down to that. Political literacy, that's another side of the tetrahedron. Political literacy, yeah, and then governmental systems literacy, and we're going to, not so much, but I'm going to put it down anyway, law enforcement literacy. Now this, you're not going to run into this too much, but we have that one last. The other four literacies or pillars here are part of the, you need to pay close attention to. Now, we'll start off with financial literacy. Of course, when you own a piece of real estate, you got to have money to maintain it, okay? Money for the taxes, insurance, you need a new roof, you need to paint the house, whatever. So you have all those expenses. Most people maintain those expenses with a job. Could be one income, could be, if you're a couple, two incomes to maintain it. And that business strategy works for many, doesn't work for everybody. So one of the things we're going to talk about with the financial literacy part of this is you might want to have a plan with financial literacy to trade real estate Well, you can. There's two models. You can either trade real estate to generate income, to have a savings account to handle certain expenses, or you can buy and hold and rent out real estate to have the cash flow to take care of certain expenses that might come up on your primary home, which is the roof over your head. Now, we'll start with the trade part, which is essentially you're not buying and holding. Matter of fact, I would recommend anybody who has a house to live in it, or before they, if they want to become landlords, they want to buy a piece of rental property and, you know, like a fixer-upper, buy it and fix it up and rent it out. I recommend if you buy and live in it, which is buying and holding, and you have nothing to do with the rental business, in both situations, and this is just an option, you know, look at, some people go out and get a part-time job, or they might have two full-time jobs. But I would recommend, at least for the sake of these podcasts, is look into buying and selling real estate. And that's called wholesaling. Wholesaling is just like, I mean, just like it is with any other commodity. There's the wholesale price, and then there's the retail price. So wholesaling is essentially buying something at a wholesale price, or in some cases a sub-wholesale price, and selling to somebody at a higher price. And because if you buy and hold real estate, essentially, like I say, maintenance is going to catch up to you sooner or later. So you might have to put on a new roof, electrical system. If you got people living in it, just in a normal course of action, things get, you know, discombobulated. You know, things wear out. Leaky faucet needs to be replaced. So wholesaling, which requires no landlording, is a way to generate. And now, I'll give you an example of this. Robin, you still there? Robin?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay.
I'm here.
Now, last week, you looked up a property in Missouri or Detroit, or both. And what were the prices on those properties?
So it's a multi-family home that was about $2,000, $3,000, and then there was a one-family home that was $1,000 in Kansas City, Missouri.
All right. Well, now this is where wholesaling comes in at. Number one, you would buy one of those homes, let's say $2,000, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of renting it out, because one was a multi-unit, instead of buying it and holding it for yourself, and you'll get to that later, but instead of buying it and holding it for yourself, you buy one with the intention of reselling to somebody else at a wholesale price. That's called wholesaling. So you buy it at $2,000, and you might sell it for $3,000. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you've earned yourself. You didn't have to work a 40-hour-a-week job to do it. You didn't have to work a part-time job to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the kind of money that you can make in a month by just locating one wholesale price property. You know, earning $1,000. Now, of course, if you do that once a week, let's say on weekends, okay, and with the age of the internet, you can do it every day, but, you know, let's say you do that once a week, you've generated yourself a $4,000 a month income that you didn't have to go out and work 20 hours a week, even 40 hours a week. You locate the property, put it in the contract, get it in the escrow, and then, of course, you look for your look for people who are looking for a property to live in, or maybe they're looking to become landlords, so you sell the property to them. And everything's done through escrow, and escrow is basically a neutral third party where they have the paralegals, they have the staff attorney that essentially looks over the contracts, makes sure everything's legal, they hold all monies, all deposit monies, and make sure everybody gets the, when the money is cleared through settlement closing, to make sure that the government gets their share of it, the owner gets their share of it, or whatever way it's supposed to go. Now, of course, if the deal doesn't fall through, then they just return the money. But so escrow is a neutral third party. And, of course, now with the beauty of the Internet, you can, or your public library, you can go read up on what is escrow, what is a title company, and that'll give you a wealth of information on that. So you'll have nice legal transparent situations out there. But that's essentially how you can earn money as a homeowner, using real estate, just wholesaling. You're not landlording. You're not fixing up anything up. You don't have to deal with any tenants. But, you can sell that to somebody who, wants a home at an affordable price, or somebody who wants to become a landlord and wants to rent it out, like in the case of that income property that had two units with it, two or three units. You can live in one unit, rent out the other two, or you can rent out all three. Or if you want to do a family thing, the husband and wife have their apartment, and then maybe the kids or in-laws or mother-in-laws or whatever has their own unit. So it's only limited to your imagination. So that's where we're going to take that one idea out of the financial literacy part of the tetrahedron. And we're going to focus in on that, on essentially the various simple ways that a person can purchase a property at wholesale prices and sell them to earn, to generate an income. And we're even going to building, because actually it's less expensive, believe it or not, for $2,000 to $5,000, that you can actually build a house. You're not going to build a McMansion, but it's actually cheaper to build a house. But a lot of people live in the urban area, and they don't want to be concerned with buildings, so we're going to present both models. But in an urban area, certain urban areas, it's easier just due to zoning regulations. It's essentially easier to find a wholesale property and sell it to somebody who wants a home and or somebody who wants to have an income property, or ABC, all three. Any questions on this process so far? Okay, everybody's quiet. So what we'll do is we'll identify some cities where you can do this, and you can even, matter of fact, form a ministry out of this. For some people that are looking for, people have various different type of outreaches or ministries. So if your faith-based organization or whatever has a homeless thing, this is a way that you can train homeless people to become homeowners. And we had a podcast on that at least within the last 2 or 3 weeks. So that's one of the things we're going to do with this is we're going to teach, in certain areas we'll be teaching homeless people how to become homeowners through this process of wholesaling. Either they can generate an income or become homeowners or both. And then in other jurisdictions or locations, we can actually teach them how to build their own home, you know, just a small home to live in. But the thing is, it'll be debt-free of a bank, no bank financing. So we're going to go into the mechanics of that today and tomorrow on how people can do that. Now, Rob, are you there? She's there somewhere.
Yes, I'm here.
All right, let's see. You're in front of your laptop?
Yeah.
Okay, now, there's certain areas of the country where it's easier to do this than other places. Let me see. Let me find you on Facebook. You on Facebook right now? Yeah, you are.
I am.
Go back to that site that I put on Facebook.
Okay.
Don't say what that site is. We hold that for off air people.
Okay, I'm there.
All right, and then let's go to that site and look up what's for sale in that particular market. Thing I just sent you. And I'll look it up. Let's see.
In what city?
I just sent it to you on Facebook.
Oh, okay. Hold on.
All right. Now, we're going to... Okay. I'm going there, too.
All right, where's my... Okay, here we go. This is going to be good.
Okay, now I'm on...
You didn't give me a city.
$1 to $5,000.
Okay.
$1 to $5,000.
Okay.
Okay, now. So, all right, I see $2,900, $2,500, $1,000, $3,600. A couple of $5,000. One's a piece of vacant land, though, but one's an actual house.
Yep, there's some lots there, and those lots might be valuable, and they might not. A lot of times, these lots will be between something, or there's no easement or any way back to them, and so we might want to teach them about the different land parcels and things like that, things to look for. You know, you want to have access back there, easement, and all of that, too. So, yeah, because they do have plots of land that are between buildings and little patches that are between properties and stuff like that.
Right. So, but, as you can see, we can wholesale there pretty easy. Now, in that particular market, now let's move to another market. There's been a lot of talk about Ferguson, Missouri.
Ferguson?
Yeah, Missouri.
They're going crazy down there right about now.
Yeah, now let's see what opportunities. I spelled Ferguson wrong.
It only brings up a few.
You got, I'm getting St. Louis. What? Maybe I'm spelling Ferguson wrong.
What?
How do you spell Ferguson correctly? F-E-R...
Oh, F-E-R-G-U-S-U-N.
Oh, no wonder. Okay. All right, Ferguson Moe. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, I only came back with two properties.
Uh-huh.
Yep. One
for 2,500.
One for 39. Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I know prices are dropping now because of the riots and all this other stuff. So, and this is just one site anyway. Okay. Let's look at St. Louis.
Oh, my goodness. They've got one in Joplin, Missouri, where I've got a friend. One is $565 and one is $600.
Right, so we can wholesale right. all these things, too.
Yeah, but right in Joplin. You asked me earlier if I had a personal need, and I actually do. I just didn't say, but I actually do.
Well, the thing is, now, here's the beauty of this, okay? Now,
yeah.
Typing, you said that's in Joplin for $600?
What?
You said that was in Joplin, Missouri?
Yeah.
Okay, now, type in, now save that page, open up a new window, and then go type in Salvation Army, Joplin, Missouri.
Type in Salvation Army?
Yeah, in Joplin, Missouri.
All right. At the same site, right?
No. Open up a new window.
Oh, okay. And then you want me to, like, Google it?
Yeah, Google Salvation Army, Joplin, Missouri.
Okay. Okay, I've got them up here.
All right. Do I need to spell it out for you?
I've got
Salvation
Army.
If there's a Salvation Army, all right. Now, there's a Salvation Army in Joplin, Missouri. We know at a Salvation Army.
Uh-huh.
Huh? At a Salvation Army, they have homeless people.
Right.
Okay. Now
right.
you found a piece of property for $600. Is it a vacant land or a house?
It's a house. It's a
okay.
three-bedroom
right.
house, $600.
Right. Now, so let's say you sold that house for $10,000. Or even $20,000.
I'm sorry, what was that, L.A.?
Let's say you sold that house for $10,000 or $20,000.
Yeah.
Okay. And you are the bank. So, you know, you go
uh-huh.
to the Salvation Army and you teach people how to, you know, how they can buy their own home without a bank. You're actually the bank. So you bought it
yeah.
for $6,000, but you're selling it for $10,000 or $20,000 or whatever you want. So
yeah.
as you can see, now this is what I mean. So one of the things we want to do here on It's My House is teach the homeless how to buy their own home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now, and fundamentally speaking, it can't get any easier than this.
What?
So of course we'll have the now the thing is, now you've looked up, we've done Philadelphia, we've done Joplin, Missouri, we've done Ferguson, Missouri, we've done St. Louis, Missouri, we've done, I think it did Kansas in one of those things, Missouri.
And we identified
and
that we've
Detroit.
Got homeless and we identified
and
that we've got homeless everywhere.
Right. There you go. And you got to celebrate
Joplin,
in all those places.
Joplin is a very, very small, almost rural town. It's about an hour away from anything civilized.
Mm-hmm.
And they managed to have a Salvation Army. That's something. Most of those shelters and stuff like that, they don't filter out too far from the big cities.
And they're not teaching them. How to fish.
They're not giving them any skills or any services beyond basic sustenance, food,
right.
Shelter, and then that's it. And you would think
some of the people
that are the most instrumental in helping really aren't helping at all. Because if you're not helping, you're hurting.
Well, I mean,
if that agency is not fulfilling the overall needs where people are keeping having to return and there's never no betterment, right? They just keep feeding them and they keep housing them, but they don't give them education to further on and not keep coming back. And so really, those efforts really, really don't count. They really don't. So,
well,
you know,
everybody can't be everything to everybody. Everybody can't be everything to everybody. So they feed them, they give them away.
Even, guess what? When we're out there, we need more than just something to eat and something to live. We need opportunities, and then we need help with the barriers and all that, some things that we're providing.
Well,
because if we don't provide these things, all our efforts when we're giving it to these people, it's in the wind. Mm-hmm.
Well, they're part of the puzzle. Their part of the puzzle is essentially doing whatever they're doing now. Our part of the puzzle now is to, connect the dots. So,
yes.
As you can see, in every one of these cities, every one of them, there's opportunities for people to own their own homes. Okay. Without a bank.
Yeah.
So
it's
my house, what we shall do is we have to, all right, we know where to get the inventory without getting on a plane, bus, train, or car. We know where to get the inventory. We got the legal background and whatnot, which we'll go through on contracts and all that other stuff. And because we can have a law clinic on partnerships and escrow and all this other stuff. We got internet access. So it's just a matter of when and where, what city will we start in first?
Will be what?
What city will we start in first? You know what somebody
I think for the wholesale and the opportunities, we might want to look at one of the where they have more going on. And so I think Detroit is looking really good. I don't know if we've looked in Florida.
No, there's nothing like this. Up in the West, though.
The thing to do is if we're going for a wholesale and if we're going to, Detroit or Chicago.
Chicago doesn't
what do you
have,
think?
I mean, you can look in Chicago if you want. But I don't think Chicago has anything at these rock bottom prices.
Okay.
We've seen
in Detroit, but, you know, I think we just need to look at a large central area where they've got some large homeless and then like that. And so,
all right, hold on. Let's go look in Chicago.
Because if we're wholesaling, we're going to need a market that you want to turn that around in. So that's why I recommend,
all of those markets are good.
Okay.
There's no shortage of people. Another one, I mean, there's no shortage of people in any of those markets. Anyway, you got a Salvation Army. There's no shortage there. Okay, if we look at Chicago.
Okay, I got you.
Okay, Chicago, Illinois.
But if you're going for wholesale, are you going from wholesale to retail and things like that? Because see, you have to look at that when you not only just the people, but the people that are available to purchase from you, or to either take
Once
advantage
again,
of what you're offering.
There's no shortage of people that can afford a wholesale house. Chicago's got like over 3 million people.
Yeah.
Philadelphia is one in the 10 top largest cities in the United States. So
yeah.
there's no shortage of people. All right, Chicago does have some opportunity. I was wrong.
And I would like to say this, because when this begins to occur, and then people are able to buy properties in this way, I hope that somebody, in addition to other than just myself, gives up some of these properties and just straight houses some people and give them for programs and stuff like that, just straight donate some over. I'm hoping to see some of that too.
I wouldn't donate
it
to an individual. I donate it to an organization.
I want to see something given back to the people.
Because part of the reason why we had this situation in Ferguson, if we look at, now this is just me speaking, we have looked to Fayetteville, which represents the government.
Mm-hmm.
We've gotten WIC, welfare, public schools, charter schools. We've gotten all this giving.
Uh-huh.
And what do we get?
Well, the reason why all that giving is not having an effect is because you're not giving people the tools and the things that they need to enjoy and appreciate what we're trying to give them.
Well, that would be the proper education.
That's one of the reasons why we're out here giving this information and knowledge out what we're doing too. See?
Right.
But that's the reason why. See, we get that all the time. We would a lot of people would have something out there, and they would go and they would set up, and then they would go, well, why aren't the people coming and making avail of themselves, or why isn't it not working? But if you're not addressing the things, if people have issues or problems or obstacles in getting that, then maybe somebody needs to be thinking about helping them through that, which Pastor Holt with Families in Distress, he's doing a great job of doing that. Because you're right, everybody's not a real estate mogul, and guess what? Nobody has to house or do anything for anybody, really. So
now, if you look at that house, what did you say, drop in Missouri? How much was it?
There was one. It was 600.
600. That's three pairs of Jordans. Now I bet you I can walk into the Salvation Army in Joplin and find me three people that win Jordans. So that's what we got to educate these people on. And that's part of the tetrahedron of real estate. Okay, once you get it, how can you keep it?
Yeah.
So, all right. So we've come across. So really, it's as simple as, now we'll get into the marketing of how to market this stuff later, because you essentially, if you want to see how many people want to, if you worry that, okay, I'm going to get this piece of property and I might not be able to sell it, one of the things you can do first, you can put an ad on Craigslist. Just a general idea. People that are looking for a house to buy, owner financing, and let's say monthly payment. I don't know what the rents are in Joplin, but let's say $400 a month, $500 a month. Put that on Craigslist. Matter of fact, you know what? Do that. put an ad on Craigslist and see how many people contact you within the next 24 hours.
Okay.
And the people that contact you, that's your buyer's list.
After the show, I can't do it right this minute, but yeah.
Yeah. That's your buyer's list.
Okay.
So once you got everything tied up and everything legally, then you need boots on the ground now.
Right.
So if you know somebody, boots on the ground, that can meet the person at the property and walk them through the property, because we have to take some things into consideration. As we know, this show was founded on squatters. So you don't want to show the property, and then the next time you show up to the property, you got another problem, because now you have somebody.
Now you got a squatter.
Right. So, see, we have to factor all these things in. So, now, with that said, Robin, what kind of a monthly income would you like to earn wholesaling?
All of the income, but I think $5,000 to $10,000 to start off with sounds really nice.
All right, that's a reasonable price, because basically if you
and it's obtainable.
That's about one a week.
It's obtainable.
That's if you get.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, you can do that on just two a month. If you find just two properties, as you can see, it's easy to do. Two properties, you figure, all right, you're going to make $2,500 to $3,000 markup on each one, which will still be affordable to your buyer, okay? Then that's attainable. And you found two properties. We haven't even been on an hour yet.
That's right.
We haven't even been on an hour yet. So this moves us to another phase of It's My House, that we're going to weekly find something that we can wholesale and use it as a teaching tool.
Yes.
To help empower others become homeowners, or if they're already a homeowner, how they can generate an additional income that is a lot less painless than a 40-hour work week, and they can set aside money for the roof or what have you. Or to organize something politically, whatever that might be, for smart meters or whatever. So, excuse me. We've been on the air. All right, we got 16 more minutes left. So we've been on the air for about 45 minutes. So we've located how many properties in that 45 minutes?
I think four or five now. But two in Joplin.
Five properties in 45 minutes. So the next step is to essentially place an ad on, I'm gonna do one for Detroit. I'm going to do one for Detroit. You'll do one for what, Joplin?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then tomorrow morning, we'll
see. Look at the result. Yeah.
We'll see how many people are looking for houses. And those two particular markets. So that's our homework assignment for today. Now, Sister Bay, you still there? Her light's still on. All right. She might be in a place you can't talk. So
I am. I had you on mute. I'm still here.
Oh, okay. All right. So, I think we even found some properties in Philadelphia that are inexpensive, the wholesale. So, anyway, we're gonna put by the end of the week we'll do Philadelphia to see what kind of demand there is, and then we'll start putting things together for it. But anyway, for people who don't want to be landlords or anything like that, wholesaling real estate is probably the least painful way to do it, and then you can simply, any income you earn, you can put in your bank account for a roof, rainy day, upgrade your house, pay taxes, what have you. So, anyway. Any questions for anybody?
And we'll have I got five on it, that's all.
Okay, well, all right, well, that does it for today, then. We got our assignment for tomorrow. So, like I said, we're on the financial literacy part of the Tetrahedron of real estate. We'll continue this tomorrow because we already located where we're going to get the property, the inventory. Now we have to see if there's a demand in these particular markets. So Robin's doing Joplin, and I'll do Detroit. And then we'll find out what kind of demand we get from Craigslist overnight.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you all for tuning in, listening in, and I'll see everybody tomorrow.
Okay.